to 1 John chapter 3 tonight. When Brother Tom asked me some months ago if I would come and preach tonight, and I said yes, I began to pray what the Lord would have for us. And I'll just go ahead and tell you, this is probably not the type of message that you are expecting to hear or would expect to hear. And in a way, that's kind of a sad statement to make, but when we get into the message, you'll understand why I say that, because there's not enough of what I'm about to preach on or what I'm about to talk about that is done in this world in which we live in. It's a very simple statement, a very simple thought that the Lord has pressed upon me. He pressed it upon me very heavily. And so when I look at, try to consider, and I always do this, why it is that the Lord lays this up on me so heavily, and I consider the things that are going on in the world around us. I consider the wickedness, as brother has already prayed this evening, how vile and wicked this world is, and how bad and sad things are, and how rampant sin is. It seems like we turn our focus on that, and we get caught up in that, and we forget about this thing right here. And that's in 1 John chapter 3, the first two verses. The Bible says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." What a wonderful and glorious thought these two verses bring out tonight. And that's kind of what I want us to do. I'm not going to get into deep theological message. I'm not going to spout off a bunch of words that I myself am not even sure what the meaning are. I just simply want us to do this tonight. And this is something that I feel that we as the Lord's people, that we as the Lord's churches do not do enough. I want us to, these doors are shut. Those doors are shut. I want us tonight to block everything in this world out. I want us to block all the thoughts and the cares of this world out tonight. And I want us to gather together as, not as this church or as my church, but I want us to gather together tonight as God's people. And I want us to consider what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Something that I don't think we consider often enough. The very first thing that, again, two wonderful verses here that John is revealing to us. But the very first thing that he says here, he says, "Behold, what manner of love." Now that word "behold" means to look at, to see, to understand. But he says, "Behold, what manner." And that's kind of what I want us to do tonight. I want us to look at that love, but I not only want us to look at that love, I want us to consider how that love was bestowed. Because as you read the scripture there, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." And if you look at the word "manner" and the definition of the word "manner," it is actually, what possible sort, but it also says this at the end, "manner of man." And when I looked at that, it stopped me in my tracks. Yes, it's a wonderful thing that the Father hath bestowed this love upon us, but look at how it was bestowed. The manner of man in which it was bestowed through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. All man, but all God. And I love that part there. The manner of man is what we're looking at. The one that bestowed that actual love upon us, and how it was bestowed upon us. That word "bestowed" means given and granted and shown to us. It's been granted to us. It's been given to us, the love of the Almighty Father through His Son and His shed blood that He shed there on the way to the cross and on the cross of Calvary. Everybody says that He shed on the cross of Calvary, but folks, He shed His precious blood on the way to the cross as well. And it was bestowed for our sins. It was bestowed for the forgiveness of our sins. It was bestowed to, or it was being bestowed. It was shed for the remission of our sins. It was shed to redeem us from the awful sickness of sin that we had upon us. And I listen, folks, I don't think we praise God enough for that love and how it was bestowed. It says upon us, and when I look at that, it just kind of stops me, myself personally. That's on a personal level. It's not just how it was bestowed, but that it was bestowed upon us. Those who are unworthy has already been made mention. Because folks, I'm going to tell you something. If there ever was an unworthy individual of the love of God, he's standing before you right now this very night. I'm unworthy of the love that God has bestowed upon me. And I'm definitely unworthy of the manner in which it was bestowed. I'm not worthy of love from God at all, let alone the manner of love that he has shown to me. Being a vile and wicked creature. And this, before the foundation of the world, there's a brother in our church. He says this when he prays quite often. Father, thank you for knowing me long before I ever knew you. Oh, that... It wasn't that God looked down and saw what kind of a person that I was going to be. It didn't that he looked down through time and saw the things that I was going to do, because he knew before anything ever came into play how I was going to live my life. He knew the things that I was going to do. He knew how I was going to be about me and about nobody else, how I was not going to take anybody into consideration, let alone God and his word and his church. He knew all of that about me, but he didn't think about that. He said, no, this one's mine. This one's mine. Regardless of what I was going to do, regardless of the sins that I was going to commit, he said, I'm going to bestow my love upon this individual, and I'm going to make him my son, my child. How Jesus Christ left his has already been made mention in prayer tonight. Left his throne, left his glory there in heaven, and came to this earth and put on a robe of flesh and endured the things that he endured on my behalf. How he, and folks, these things, and that's what I want us to look at, is that manner of love, how that he came, and oh folks, the things he endured. None of the words that I can stand up here and give you tonight can even come close to describing the agony that he endured because of my sins. The mocking that he took, mocking upon beyond any type of mocking that we could ever come to imagine in this life in which we live. The crown of thorns which they smacked down upon his head, those long thorns, and I'm not exactly sure how long they were, but long enough that they sunk in to his brow and caused the very blood from his body to pour out of his brow onto the ground. They smacked him in the face. They plucked the very beard from off of his face. Brother, you have big, your beard is longer than mine. I don't know how you got it that way, but you have to tell me your secret later. I'd let mine grow all the way to my waist if I could. But listen, folks, I'm going to tell you something. You know, those of you who have facial hair, but even you know how it smarts when you jerk one hair out, let alone handfuls. And then what amazes me beyond any of that is you said not a word. How that they took that reed and smacked him up on the head when they put that crown of thorns upon his head. How that they beat him. The very flesh that was ripped off of his body. I'm not talking about little scratches. I'm talking about the flesh was ripped off of his body. He was beaten beyond recognition. All because of me. All because of you. How that he went to they led him through the crowd of screaming people who were mocking him even more violently as they led him down the road to Calvary, that place of death, where they drove nails deep into his feet and hands, and raised him up there on the cross to be mocked more. How that while he was on the cross, my sins were placed upon his body. How that he endured those sins there. How that he died upon the cross and was buried in that tomb. And listen, when he was in that tomb, how that he conquered, listen, the very depths of hell. A hell that I should have been the one to bear. A hell that I am deserving of and worthy of. How he went there. Folks say that that's a figurative thing. No, he literally endured the depths of hell for my sins. Then he rose from the grave victorious over death and hell in the grave. And then this is what amazes me beyond anything. How that he carried his own blood. How that he carried his own blood into heaven, to the Holy of Holies, and sprinkled it there on the altar, on the mercy seat, and said, this is for the sins of Scott Coffey. the one that's unworthy of my love, this is for him, and all because I love him. Oh, behold what manner of love that the Father hath bestowed upon us and how he has bestowed it upon us. Sin-sick creatures, unworthy of any of it as we are. This roof and this building ought not to be able to hold our praise and worship for Almighty God and for the Son who came and endured the things that he endured on our behalf. I'm not worthy of any of it. And I'm just going to say this. And I'm going to be bold enough to say it. Anybody who says they are worthy need to do a self-check. The holy blood of Jesus Christ shed for my sins. Can we not come together tonight and forget about the cares of the world and forget about the things of the world and forget about our differences and just praise God for the manner of love in which he's and the love which he's bestowed upon us? You go on to read the verse there. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. What an amazing statement here that is made. That we should be called the sons of God. Not a servant, but a son and a daughter. A son and a daughter to Almighty God. That in itself blows me away. How that I don't have to tell you what my sins are. But how a vile and wicked creature could be even considered a son of God. That adoption that God bestowed upon me when I wasn't worthy of it. How he called me out by name and took me out of this world and out of the condition of sin that I was in and said, you're my son. Manner of love. Verse 2 says, beloved, we now are we the sons of God. I wonder how many times we ever consider that statement. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, daughters of God. How many times do you ever even consider that or ever even think about that? I don't think we consider it and think about it often enough. I definitely don't think we praise God often enough for it. And let me tell you something, he's worthy of our praise. All of it. The manner that he made us sons and daughters of God. All of this just amazes me. How that it was through the shed blood of Jesus Christ that we are made sons and daughters of God. And listen, folks, that's the only way that you can be made a son and a daughter of God is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I had somebody tell me the other day, and I made this statement this morning in church, and some people looked at me awful strange. Somebody had talked to me the other day and said, you know what? He says, I don't think that the gospel needs to be preached all the time. I don't think that the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ need to be preached all the time. He says, oh, don't get me wrong. If you have a church and there are people in it that you know that are lost, then by all means preach the gospel. But if your whole church believes in God, there's no need to preach the gospel. Hogwash. Hogwash. Folks, that's what we're to be about, is preaching the gospel. Because without the gospel, where would we be? Without that manner of love, without that death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, where would we be? Still lost and dying and going to the hell that we're all worthy of. But now, are we the sons and daughters of God? Christ was despised of his own. He was rejected. He endured many sufferings on our behalf. Look with me, if you will, to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Verse 10 says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. I love this. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power
to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. He, through His shed blood, gave us the power to become the sons and daughters of God. What an amazing verse. What an amazing statement. You look over to the book of Romans, chapter 8, which is where we're at right now on Wednesday night. But in Romans chapter 8, in verse 14, I went too far. Romans, not 1 Corinthians. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption." Oh, what a beautiful statement this is, whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." Abba, Father. All because of the love that was bestowed upon us through the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ our Lord. Folks, I again, words cannot even begin to describe any of this the way that it ought to be described tonight. And me and my feeble attempt may not do it any justice, but I just want us to consider it tonight. I want us to not think about anything else but the love and the manner that which it was bestowed upon us. That sacrifice that was made on our behalf on the cross of Calvary. Are you not thankful for that sacrifice tonight? Are you not thankful for that shed blood? Are you not thankful for that love and the manner in which it was bestowed? Because I'm going to tell you that Jesus Christ, of all intents and purposes, could have said, "Nope, I'm done. I'm not going to do it. They're not worth it." But it wasn't the case. Not only did the Father say this is what's going to happen, not only did the three in one decide before the foundations of the world that this was the love that was going to be bestowed, but Jesus Christ said, "I'll go and I'll do that which is required to redeem my people." Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And I love what it says here in verse 2 of our text. It says, at the end of it, it says, "And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." I love that word, beloved, at the beginning of that verse. Dearly loved. Well loved. And dear. Folks, does it not amaze you, beyond words, that we are beloved, beloved, dearly loved, well loved, and dear to God? In all of our wickedness and vileness that we've ever done, and even that we still continue to do, the sins that we still continue to get in, we're beloved by God. We're dearly loved by God. And it just, again, I don't mean to repeat myself, but amazes me beyond amazement that He looked down through the ages and knew exactly what I was going to be and how I was going to turn out. And still yet He said, "No, I love this one. This one's mine." And saved me and made me His own. And this, and it goes even beyond that. Not only did He just save me, not only did He call me out from this world and make me a child of God, He's calling me to preach the very gospel of Jesus Christ. I made this statement earlier today. People, in this day and age in which we live in, I've got to go to church. "Well, I'm a Christian, I've got to go to church today," or "I've got to do this," or "I've got to do that." No, I get to do it. I get to come and tell you what God has done for me. I get to preach the beloved gospel of Jesus Christ. I get to tell you that there is forgiveness of sin through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Repent and believe on Him before it's too late. I get to do that. I have children that are lost. I get to tell them about Christ. Folks, I have young children that are asking what right now, and a matter of fact, have asked even today what it means to be saved and how one can be saved. I have a 9-year-old, a 12-year-old, and a 7-year-old that have asked me questions all day long. And I get to tell them of this love. Pray for my children. Pray that the Lord would save them as I pray for those that you know that are lost. I may not know their names, but listen, they're lost and I'll pray for them. And I'm going to tell you something. You ought to take this into consideration
concerning those that haven't been called to preach, but concerning those that have been called according to God's purpose. You get to witness to those that are around you. You get to tell them of this love and how it has been bestowed upon you. Don't lose out on the opportunity to do that. Somebody said after church, oh, you got to go preach for Brother Tom Ross. And I said, no, I get to. I got a phone call the other night asking me to come to Kentucky the middle of July to preach a revival. Somebody said, you got to go all the way down to Kentucky. And I said, no, I get to. But that attitude has crept up on people in the world today that it's something that we've got to do. That's why the world's in the shape that it's in today, by the way. Not that we get to, but that we've got to. People will treat Christianity, people treat church, people treat God's services no more than a card punch anymore. I did my duty, I did my service, I'm done. I preached this morning on wholehearted service to God, but it seems like all we can give Him is Sunday and Wednesday, when we should truly be giving Him everything, every day, as a servant. The title of my message was, Are You Serving the Life's Purpose of a Saint? Folks, our purpose in this life, God has set us apart, called us out of this world to continue on the work of the kingdom, to continue to be a witness, to continue to keep His commandments, to continue to live by the very word of God that He's given us, and to be that example of the love of God to the world that is around us. Are we truly feeling that purpose? Not if we're just punching a card Sunday and Wednesday. Folks, because of what we're considering tonight, because of the manner of love that God has bestowed upon us and how that He has bestowed it upon us, we ought to be ready to charge out these doors and find the first person that we can find and tell them about Jesus. But anymore, we consider it to be a bother, which is sad. I hear not too long ago, one of my children asked me, Daddy, I need to ask you something. And I was in the middle of something. What does it mean to be saved? And I pushed her aside and said, not now. And folks, I'm going to tell you something that has eaten me up for the last 2 weeks. What I was doing was not as important as telling my daughter what it meant to be saved and how to be saved. And that's a guilt I'll probably never get rid of. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. This very next statement that is made here, this has me praising God even more than, I don't want to say even more than the manner of love and the love that He's bestowed upon me, but it has me praising God more to know this, that not only did He love me enough to before the foundations of the world say this one's mine, but He loves me enough that He's going to one day step out on the clouds and call me to come home and to come up hither. And when He does, I'm going to go with shouts of acclamation and praise to the one who gave His very life's blood for the forgiveness of my sins. Can we rejoice in that? I can almost hear the trumpet. I know a guy that does some hunting around, actually, Ohio. And he has it's not a ram's horn. I'm not real sure what kind of horn it is. One curly horns. I don't know what they're called. He took it in the woods with him here not too long ago, setting tree stand and blew that thing. He said he could hear it echo from holler to holler to holler. And he said, I can almost imagine that that's what it's going to sound like. When the Lord steps, I said, no, it's going to be much, much, much louder and much better than that. But, I mean, can you hear it? Can you hear that trumpet sound? Can you rejoice in the fact that knowing that that trumpet is going to be for you and that you don't have to endure hell any longer? You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to endure the punishment and the torment of hell because of the love and the manner in which it was bestowed upon you by God. We ought to be rejoicing evermore, waiting for that day to come when the Lord calls us to come up hither. He's going to come. He's going to step out on the clouds and we're going to see Him in all His glory. We're going to see Him we're going to see the nails, the nail holes in his hands that he took for us. There's a song, there's a contemporary song called "One of These Days I'm Going to See the Hands That Took the Nails for Me. One of these days I'm going to see the side that took the spear for me. One of these days I'm going to see the brow that took the thorns for me. I'm going to see my Jesus face to face, and I'm going to be able to praise Him for this manner of love that we're looking at tonight." Folks, I'm going to tell you something. That's all eternity is going to be, is praise and worship to the Lord and Savior, the one who gave His life for us. If we're having a hard time doing it now, I've given that some very serious thought. That's all we're going to be doing, is sitting at His feet, praising and worshiping Him, learning from Him throughout all of eternity without end. And right now we find it even hard to mutter a word of praise. We find it even hard to consider the love on a day-to-day basis. It says whenever it is, that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is going to return, and He's going to return. That word "appear" means will make Himself manifest, be manifested. He shall appear. Folks, it's a sure thing that Jesus Christ is going to come. Somebody said the other day that this book was nothing more than a book of stories. Folks, this is an account of history. A true account of history. Talked about Shadrach, and I don't mean to get off the subject, but I'm talking about this is true accounts of history. We were talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego the other day. Folks, that is a true story. They were literally cast in to that fiery furnace. Everything that you read in this book, in the Bible, in God's Word, is true. It happened. You turn over to the end of the book, and we win. Jesus Christ comes. It's going to happen. It's a truth. Praise God for that tonight. Let's just take time to praise God for it. Don't worry about anything else. Forget about everything else. That's what the whole purpose for this was. I truly believe that. That's why the Lord laid this on my heart, was just so that we could gather together tonight and rejoice and praise God for the love that He loves us with and the way that He loved us in it. John chapter 14, verse 1 through 4 through 3. What does He say? He says, "I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you shall be also." I will come again. He's coming. I believe He's coming soon. I don't know when. I've heard many people say before 2021 is out. If He does, praise God. I'm going to tell you something. He could come tonight. He could come before I utter my very next set of words. Are you ready? Are you joyful? Are you glad that you're a child of God? Are you rejoicing? Are you joyful? Are you glad for the love that God has loved you with? First John chapter 3, the last part of the verse. We shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Folks, isn't it a wonderful thing to know that the Scripture tells us one day we shall be like Him? This whole body's going to go away. We're going to get a glorified body. No more sin. No more pain. No more death to worry about. Only praise and worship for the King. If for just a moment this evening we could consider that, if we could consider it every day, if we would think on those things every day, I truly believe our life would be so much better. This world's got all kinds of stuff to throw at us. This world's got all kinds of stuff that's going on, rumors, wickedness in high places. I'm going to tell you something. We fret over that, but none of it matters to us as children of God. Because we're going to go home to be with the Lord. Somebody said to me the other day, "How can you not worry over these things?" I did for a while. I'm not going to lie to you. When this whole presidency thing happened the way it happened, I worried. Till the Lord thumped me in the back of the head one day and said, "What are you worrying about? I've got all of this. You belong to me. You're a child of God. Quit worrying about these things.
worship, praise me, live the way that I would have you to live. I'm going to come get you before too long. What have I got to worry about? Instead, I should be spending my days praising and worshiping God for this love and for the fact that I am going to get to go be with Him for all of eternity. Are we? I pray that it's caused each and every one of us to set back tonight and take a look at this love and say, wow, how amazing. Wow, how wonderful. And just praise and rejoice God for it. Instead of worrying about the cares of this world. Instead of worrying about the things that are outside these doors. Instead of worrying about what you're going to do when the doors open and the services are over with. Just right now for a moment, praise God. Right now for a moment, worship the King because of the love that He has for us. And the manner, and definitely the manner in which it was bestowed. The shed blood of the only begotten Son of God. The Lamb of God. The one who came and said, I love you this much. And laid His life down. To forgive me for my sins. To wash away my sins. The blood of the Lamb of God. To wash away my sins. Shed for me. I'm at a loss for words. But let me tell you something. In my heart right now. It's beating 90 miles a minute because of the excitement and the joy. I'm afraid I was there for a minute. I had a hold of the bullpen a second ago. I was afraid I was going to turn it over. Folks, let me tell you something. I have joy in my heart. That was like that little kid's song that my kids were singing it this afternoon. As a matter of fact, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. Why? Because I have the love of Jesus down in my heart. Little childish song, but oh, the message behind it. You have the love of Jesus in your heart tonight. Praise His name for it. Worship Him for it. Be joyful and thankful over it. And you live your lives accordingly. That's the biggest thing. Living your lives accordingly. Lives that would be pleasing unto the one who gave His life for us. That's what I wanted us to see tonight. That's what I wanted us to do tonight. And I believe that the reason for that is that we don't do enough of it. We don't truly behold the love of God in the manner that it was bestowed upon us. We take it for granted too often. We truly do. Let's don't take it for granted anymore. I don't know how many days we have left on this earth, but the rest of the days that we have left on this earth, let us walk around it on cloud nine, because we are sons and daughters of an almighty God who loved us enough that He laid His life down for us to make us those sons and daughters of God. Can we do that tonight? I pray we can. Can we do that every day? I pray that we can. I pray that this has been an encouragement. I pray that it's been uplifting. I pray that it's been a joyful message, because that's exactly what God intended it to be, was for us to come and be joyful and rejoice in that manner of love that God has for us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You this evening. Lord, we thank You for the opportunity that You've given us to gather tonight, Lord, and together around a small portion of Your Word. Lord, the message, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. We should be called the sons of God. That You loved us enough before the foundations of the world. You said, this one's mine. That You sent Your Son, and that He came, and that He shed His precious blood on the cross of Calvary, that He bore our sins, that He conquered death and hell and the grave, and that He placed His blood there on the mercy seat and paid for our sins, washed them away, that they were forgiven, that they're gone as far as the east is from the west, that we can cry out unto You, Abba, Father, that we know that You're going to return one day and take us home to be with You. Oh, Lord, I pray tonight that You would let us not ever take that for granted again, but that You would let us tonight and every day as we go forth from here rejoice and praise Your precious name for that love, the manner in which it was bestowed. Praise Your name for Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that He made there on the cross of Calvary for us. Let us live our lives accordingly. Let us live our lives like we are joyful and thankful. Let us be excited to show forth Your love and mercy to a lost and dying. Let us be joyful and excited to tell others about what You have done for us in our lives. Let those men that you have called and set aside to preach the gospel preach it with joy. Let me preach it with joy, because it is real to me. Forgive us, Lord, for all the times that we do take it for granted, that we do neglect to tell others about you, that we don't take the opportunities that we should tell others about you. Forgive us for that. Lord, we ask that as we go forth from this place tonight into our separate ways and our separate lives, that you would give us the strength and cause our hearts always to be full of joy so that we can do that. Lord, because we know you are coming soon, Lord, I pray for the lost tonight. Father, I have children that are lost, I have loved ones that are lost, friends that are lost, those that come to our church from time to time that are lost, satisfied here, people that know people here that are lost. Lord, I pray tonight would be the night that you would call them out by name. Lord, that you would break that exterior shell around their heart, that they might fall on their face before you tonight, begging you for mercy and forgiveness, salvation, that you would save them, that they might come forth confessing you as Lord and Savior, that we might be able to rejoice that another one has come to know you as their Lord and Savior. What a joyful thing that would be. Father, we look for your return. Lord, we, with excitement and joy, long for the day we'll step out on the clouds and call us to come up here. Father, until that day comes, give us the strength that we need to remain faithful and joyful servants to the Most High God, for the love and the manner in which it was bestowed. We ask all these things in your precious and holy name tonight. Amen.